we reflect on 2014 and the years before, we just think about how good God has been to us, how He's always there for us, how He promises to never leave or forsake us. So if there's any doubt about what is expected of you in 2015, you should put all that aside and just remember what God promised, His promises. And as I reflect on 2014, I think about all that I should have done, could have done better, and like in that prayer, none of us are perfect, and none of us, we fail every time, but it's one who lends out his hand that's never changing, unchanging. And so I just have to learn to surrender, give my all, surrender to God. Let His will be done. His will. Lord, Your love is my everything.
Lord, Your love is my everything.
I find all I need in surrendering.
I find all I need in surrendering.
Empty hands I bring.
Empty hands I bring.
As an offering.
As an offering. All I need in surrender.
Lord, your love is my everything.
Lord, your love is my everything. I find all I need in surrendering.
Empty hands
I bring.
I look unto you, God, for where my help and strength
is an offer.
I know you brought me out of that mess in 2014, and you're going to bring me through it.
You're my everything.
Over and over and over again, I surrender, God.
Everything.
Launch your love. Sing that without the music. Come on, sing it. Lift your hands up to God.
Lord, your love is my everything.
I find
all I need in surrendering.
Thank you for your grace. Thank you for your mercy. Thank you for your love, God. Thank you for your love. Thank you, Father. Look unto God and say, thank you, God. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Lord.
Good evening, everyone. Truly, that song says a lot, like Sister Evelyn says. It's a few words, but it's so much. God is my everything. And the only thing we can come do is surrender to him with empty hands, because we don't have anything worth it off to our Lord anyway.
That's right.
That's just to jump our bodies, like the pastor said in Romans 1, offer him living sacrifices. But then we don't do that completely. We want to hold it back for ourselves, don't we? Going to hold on, not total control to the Lord. In just a few hours, we're going to celebrate. Turn in the calendar. And we're going to say goodbye to 2014 and say hello to 2015. Some of us, we've been making resolutions. Probably many of us be making resolutions. And the main one would be trying to lose some weight, right? They say that period from Thanksgiving to New Year's was a tough time for anybody who's trying to keep their weight under control. But you know what? The health clubs and the sports stores like this time of year. Because we're rushing in to sign up for gym memberships, and buying exercise clothing, exercise equipment. And for about a month, we are totally committed. Then we start to slack off a bit. But around the 1st of March, we're not going to the gym anymore. The exercise equipment's in the corner collecting dust. And the diet stopped long ago because we said if we exercise, we don't need a diet. So we rationalize things like that. And it's a way, but every year, this time of year, we make these resolutions. I'm talking from experience. Now, you're not the only ones. I do it too. I started talking about losing weight 2 weeks ago. And you don't do that before Christmas or New Year's. The Lord is gracious to us, and he accepts us in our overweight conditions as well as taking us in our diet conditions, doesn't he? He's a gracious God. Because he knows we're just dust, and we will fall and fail. But that's the song. He's our everything. He's our everything. But there's a scripture that talks about a diet that does not expand the waistline. And it can be found in Matthew chapter 5. It doesn't require any memberships. It doesn't require any special clothing nor equipment. It's our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ talking to his disciples. The multitudes came to listen to him teach. And in chapter 5, I'm going to read a few of these, about six of these verses. He said, and seeing, have you found it? Matthew chapter 5. And seeing the multitudes, he went up into a mountain, and when he was set, his disciples came unto him. And he opened his mouth and taught them, saying, blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are they that mourn, for they shall be comforted. Blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth. Blessed are they which hunger and thirst after righteousness, for they shall be filled. Heavenly Father, we come in the precious name of your Son, Jesus, asking you by your Spirit, you got us into this lesson, Lord. We thank you for how you brought us to 2014, how you protected us, Lord, and provided for us, Lord, and prayers that were answered there, Lord, and protect us from seen and unseen dangers. And here we are, assembled here this evening, dear Lord, preparing to celebrate a new year that you... We pray that you will be a part of, a greater part of than we had in 2014, dear Lord, that we will be more open to acknowledging you and being obedient to you. So help us, Lord, now in our weakened condition, dear Lord, knowing that we can't do anything. It's all of you. So we thank you now in this lesson, and it's in Jesus' precious name we do pray. Amen. I'm going to focus on verse 6. Blessed are they which do hunger and thirst after righteousness, for they shall be filled. That verse says that a man becomes hungry. When he goes back to verse 3 and acknowledges that his soul is in poverty. And in verse 4 that he has mourned for his sins. Because he's going to be comforted. Our Savior is going to comfort him. But he mourns over him. He's sorry for them. And in verse 5, he has been humbled in the sight of God. He's a meek man, and he is contented with what God has given him in this life. So he begins to hunger and thirst after righteousness. He's a blessed man because in order to hunger after thirst and righteousness, you have to know who has it, who offers it. He has to know Jesus Christ. The unbeliever doesn't know that. But this man, he knows that he's a sinner. He knows that he's condemned. And it's only that by the grace of God that he has been saved. So now, because of that, he desires holiness. He knows that in his own strength he cannot attain it. He learns that it is God, it is Christ who offers it. And it's Christ who has died for his sin and made his righteousness possible. So he's seeking this righteousness. And the only way he gets it, he has to make some changes in his life. He knows it's not enough that he's been forgiven for his sins. He said, there's something more. There's more required. I have to thirst for holiness. I have to thirst for righteousness. This man now, because of what Christ has done in creating a new creature, he loves those things that he once hated. and he hates those things that he once loved. He cries out to the Lord. And I forgot to give you the topic, didn't I? It's a diet worth keeping. It's a diet worth keeping. It's a diet worth keeping. The diet of righteousness. It's a diet worth keeping. And he cries out to the Lord. The Lord, help my righteous character. Don't let temptation get mastery over me. Subdue my pride. Guide my judgment. Keep my self-will in check. Make me holy in my innermost being. Let my speech always be of truth. And let my life be a reflection of Christ written all over me. This blessed man hungers and thirsts to be made right and to be kept right. And he never will be satisfied until he wakes up into the image of his Lord. His prayer daily said, Lord, let your kingdom come. For in your kingdom is righteousness and peace. His soul is on fire for his righteousness. And he hungers and thirsts. He is a blessed man because this is a diet worth keeping. It will be enough to hunger for righteousness all by itself, but he thirsts as well. And his passions are real. We know that hunger and thirst are facts of life. The desire and craving for righteousness can be likened to that to hunger and thirst. He pines, he longs, he prays to be made holy. And this desire can only be described as being intense. And what can be more intense than being hungry? What can be more intense than being thirsty? A man must drink water or he will die. Such is the intense longing of this man for righteousness. And there is nothing quite like the desire of a person who's been regenerated. He continually cries out, oh, wretched man that I am, who can deliver me from this death? And he gets the answer. Christ can. Christ can. Christ can, as this constant refrain starts to win over his inner being, with his soul, and he starts to realize Christ has won him the victory. This is a diet worth keeping. This blessed man, this regenerated man, he will endure scorn and contempt from the unbelievers. He knows that he would be ridiculed, but he must hold fast to his integrity. His zeal for righteousness works mightily in his spirit. At times, he finds it difficult to hold out. The scorn starts to wear on him, but he must declare the truth of God because his spirit commands it. This is a diet worth keeping. To hunger and thirst is a sign of a spiritual life. You are spiritually alive when you can hunger and thirst after the righteousness of Jesus Christ. It's also proof of your spiritual health. You go to the doctor, and when the doctor will tell you that they regard a good appetite as being one of the signs that a body is in a healthy state. It is the same with your soul. So have a ravenous appetite for Christ. Be greedy for what he has to offer you. Everything that is right. Everything that is good. Everything that is pure. Everything that is lovely. And everything that is of good report. But most importantly, he offers you eternal life. So pray that God sends you more intense hunger and thirst. Amen. It is a diet worth keeping. Amen. And the very opposite of this is to be self-satisfied and self-righteous. Pharisees never hungered and thirsted for righteousness. They had all the righteousness that they needed. And they thought they even had enough to offer to the tax collector, who cried out, "God, be merciful to me, a sinner." So Jesus even mocked them. He told them in Matthew 9, he said, "I didn't call them to call the righteous to repentance, but I called sinners." So Jesus, he pointed out to the Pharisees that they weren't righteous at all. They were truly sinners and just didn't know it. So if a man thinks he is perfect, he does not know or care anything about hunger and thirsting. Don't be like that man. Don't be like the Pharisee. But you should be content with the blessings of hunger and thirst, because it comes with another blessing. And that blessing is, you shall be filled. See, this blessing is unique. You want to thirst and hunger, and it's a continual thirst and hunger, but you shall be filled. See, a man desires meat. He eats it and is filled for a little while, but he's soon hungry again. A man craves water. He drinks it, but he gets thirsty again. But if a man hungers after thirst and righteousness, he shall be so filled that he shall never thirst again as he did before. Remember Jesus in John chapter 4 when he's talking to the Samaritan woman at the well. In verse 14, Jesus said unto the woman, "Whosoever drinks of this water shall thirst again. But whosoever drinks of the water that I shall give shall never thirst. But the water that I shall give him shall be unto him a well of water, springing up into eternal life." Amen. A blessing of being filled. This is a diet worth keeping. Amen. See, men have tried to fill their lives with worldly possessions, only to realize their souls are still empty. They cannot be filled with the material things, no matter how high they may pile them. Our God has so amazed man's heart that the only thing that can fill that heart is God himself. And so the regenerated man has a hungering, thirsting placed in him that he knows that only Christ can supply and fill. Then when he gets Christ, he is satisfied and he can be filled with contentment. The man who has laid hold of Christ by faith has grasped that which is always brings the blessing with it. He shall be filled. With Christ, they shall have all that they need and enough to spare. You shall be kept and preserved to the end when you believe in Christ Jesus. He who has begun to cleanse you will never leave the work until he has made you without spot or wrinkle or any other blot. And he never begins a work he cannot or will not complete. Philippians 1:6 says it better. Amen. Being confident of this very thing, he that which has got begun a good work in you will perform it until the day of Jesus Christ. So as surely as you have believed in Jesus, and you will walk with him in glory one day. This is a promise, but it's only a promise to those whose names are written in the book of life. This is a diet worth keeping. So as we come into this new year, we have a choice to make. Or we are going on without the relationship of Jesus Christ, or we are going to be yielded to him. Because Christ has all that you need. And all that you need to do is believe in his Son. Believe in the Son of God. Let him let him as your substitute and your representative stand before God. Will you trust him? Or will you leave him alone? If you will, you will receive from Christ a righteousness that's satisfied. Remember by yourself, the only thing that you can offer Christ is your righteousness. And Isaiah 64:6 said, all our righteousness as its filthy rags. And surely you want to offer God more than that. But in the righteousness of Christ, you would have perfect righteousness. Not only the righteousness of man, but also of God. Mm-hmm. By believing in Jesus, God looks upon you as if the righteousness of Jesus were your own. Mm-hmm. In that divine righteousness, which is Christ, you shall be filled. Amen. This is a diet worth keeping in 2015. God bless. I didn't keep it long, did I? Praise God. Amen. Perhaps there's someone who does not have a relationship with Jesus Christ. Wouldn't it be a great thing to end this year and start the new year as a child of the King? Nothing could be more rewarding than that. That would be not only a blessing to you, but a blessing to somebody you know. And you can tell them about this wonderful, marvelous relationship that I ended 1 year with and began the new year with. Oh, that would be something, wouldn't it? I'm no longer on my own. I'm no longer being self-centered and self-righteous. I am being perfectly righteous in Jesus Christ. Is there anyone out there who does not know Jesus Christ as Savior and Lord of your life? Tonight would be the right time to yield to him and become one of his children. I know you said, well, I was born, yes, but you need a second birth. Amen. If you want to be with the Lord when you pass from this life, as Sister Smith said, you keep hearing the words that somebody's going on. But you don't know where they go, where we don't end up. You don't want to have any doubt about it. You want to be sure. Right. And you can be sure by believing in Jesus Christ. You know where you'll be. You'll be with him in glory. We don't know if the streets are gold or not. We heard that. But that in Revelation, how to describe it, it could be gold. But you will be walking them there with your Savior. And you want to see Jesus as he is. Wouldn't you want to see the Lord? This person who died for you, who thought enough for you to come down from glory, would come down and give his life for you? Said, nobody knows you like you and the Lord. And you know who you are and what you are. How we'd like to reward him by saying, Lord, you know who I am. I'm going to repay you by giving my life to you. Is there someone today? Is there someone who wants to give his life to Christ? Perhaps there's someone looking for a church home. Is no one wants to have that relationship? Maybe someone looking for a church home. We will welcome you here so we can worship the Lord together. We can worship the Lord together. Amen. Thank you. Happy New Year. God bless.
Amen. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord for the word of God. Amen. Coming from Matthew chapter 5, 1 to 6. I think we all need to pick up that diet that's worth keeping. Because all these other diets, I've tried them all. It ain't working. So we thank the Lord for the message and the messenger coming from Matthew chapter 5. Thirsting after righteousness. That means thirsting after Jesus Christ in the year of 2015. Amen? Amen. I'm not going to go on because you know that Reverend Zimmerman, he's prepared to have prayer with us.
Amen.
Yeah, to have prayer. But I would say this. I know that, I hope I'm not stepping out of line, but I don't know if, was this the time, Sister Smith, where you were going to, or you want to prepare another time? Sister Smith sings, and I had asked her a couple times, said, when you come again, would you be prepared to sing a song for us? So if you would, grant us a song as we prepare for our closing prayer. Amen.
Praise the Lord.
That was certainly a wonderful word. Amen. Coming from Reverend Zimmerman. Amen. And just to let you know, I'm not really that much of a singer, but Reverend Barr asked me, and I said, I could only say yes to the man of God who is so humble and such a wonderful servant here at your church. So I'm going to do just a little thing from the hymn book. That might be too hard. Let me start. When peace like a river attendeth my way, and when sorrows like sea billows roll, whatever my lot thou hast taught me to say, that it is well, it is well with my soul. Though Satan should buffet, though trials they should come, let this blessed assurance control, that Christ has regarded my helpless estate and has shed his own blood for my soul. Oh, it is well with my soul. It is well, it is well with my soul. And Lord, haste the day when the faith shall be sight, the clouds be rolled back as a scroll, the trump shall resound, and the Lord shall descend. Even so, it is well with my soul. It is well with my soul.